Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and this one's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and this one's Introduced By...
Welcome to the show. I'm your host for the week, Luna, and I'm not a doctor. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, and this one's introduced by Izzy Mardenweir.
Hello.
Hi. Izzy is an Indonesian-Australian multi-instrumentalist, songwriter, and composer. Their latest album, You Must Believe in Spring, is one of those albums that just reaches out and pulls you into it with its minimal production and deeply personal lyrics. It's one of my favorite records of 2026 already. Izzy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No worries.
Izzy, tell me about this record.
Okay, where do I begin? About a couple of months ago, my dad passed away.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I had a lot of time on my hands because I'd just been fired from my last job. And I had just finished recording The Minotaur, which is the album that my band Red Orchestra had done. And I got the news about him sort of in the middle of all of that. And I didn't really know, like, what to do with it or how to, you know, make anything out of it. Not that you should ever feel like you need to make something out of grief, but it felt very natural for me to try and find some meaning in it. And then before I left to go to Indonesia to visit his grave, I had like a 2-week sort of period where I just recorded relentlessly, often finishing entire songs in a day. So yeah, in about 2 weeks I basically did the whole record. Although one of these songs has been alive for about 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite a long time to sit on something.
Yeah, I was consistently trying to figure out how would I record this, how would I arrange this. I had several different ideas for different band arrangements for this one song, which is the second last track, You Know How to Make Me Lonely. But I ended up giving up on all of those arrangements and just doing it entirely myself. And I still don't actually entirely know if it's my favorite version, but it is what's been committed to tape, so...
Well, I mean, maybe it'll come back. Maybe it'll be a Red Orchestra song again, or...
We actually played it at the very first Red Orchestra gig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of full circle.
Yep. It was a very ramshackle first gig, and I...
Well, they usually are at the beginning.
I didn't really have enough of a set list, and yeah. So, you know, I'd recycled old stuff. And that song has been, yeah... around since, you know, I've been having experiments with like recording stuff from around lockdown ish so 2020 was I think when I first wrote You Know How to Make Me Lonely.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm glad I can finally give it the platform that it deserves, which is this record. Although it does sort of feel a bit funny. Every other song is pretty short and this one's like, what, 6 minutes?
Stands out a little bit. I kind of, you know, it gives it room to breathe, I guess.
I hope so.
So the first track is called An Absence of Color. What's that sort of mean to you?
Well, I'm colorblind.
Right.
So it's literal, but it's also, this one is the most directly about my dad.
Right.
And the most obvious in terms of, you know, some of the lines are cribbed directly from texts from him. And
very, very personal.
Yeah, maybe a bit too personal.
Well, I think that's a good note to sort of start the album off on, get right into the theme.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start with an absence of color.
Imagine a color, the blackest black you ever saw. I've been seeing it since I was 4. Taunts me everywhere I go. Seeps into everything I know. Defines the outlines and the walls. Determines how much I can grow. If I'm allowed. There is a song trapped in a veil of silence. But losing you made the silence louder. I don't want to end this all with violence. Despite this, I'm down in the murky water. Dragged you in and pulled you under. An absence of color I never see before. I don't think I'll get a full 8 hours. Don't think I'll get a full 8 hours.
And this one's introduced by I'm Luna.
I'm Izzy Modern Weir.
And we are talking about You Must Believe in Spring. So we just played An Absence of Color, followed by 8 hours. What do you have to say about 8 hours?
It was really fun to take the previous song and resample it to make the bare bones of the next song. That's what that signal tone comes from.
Yeah. I really like it. I mean, any sort of transition between tracks I love on any album. It's something that I always find really cool. yeah.
I think there's something really interesting that happens when you take a song or take an entire MP3 of a song and put it through a sampling keyboard. Like, I used Ableton's, like, simpler to make a good chunk of this record.
Yeah.
And resampling my own music to make new music meant that I was able to have access to a palette of sounds that were very, very unusual. It didn't sound really electronic or acoustic at all. It just sounded like a secret third thing.
a secret third thing. I really like that as a... It is... It kind of sits in that weird liminal space where it's not quite an acoustic record. It's not quite, you know, sort of a really electro record. It's very stripped back in the way that an acoustic record is, but it's very produced in the way something electronic is. And it kind of... I don't know, it's the best of both worlds, I think. It, you know, just the you let the production and the lyrics really speak for themselves.
I mean, off air we were talking about Since I Left You by the Avalanches. I think the like big sort of Australian record that got me inspired to try working in this sort of way was Gauthier's Making Mirrors.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Classic.
Like, have you seen that video of him just fooling around in his like parents' shed or something that he's renovated? Yeah, basically that, except I don't have all these mountains of gear. Well, I do now, but I didn't when I was making this record. I basically just had my laptop, a couple of you know, like my like a bass guitar, I think, and I had barely anything.
I hope you don't begrudge me for saying this is a very lockdown sounding record. You've got, you know, it's you and the computer and whatever you have around.
Yeah,
you're not really, you know, you don't have Gauthier money, not yet.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, he's hoping. The next track is called Parasol.
Yeah, it's a sex jam.
First sex jam of the album.
Yeah.
Only sex jam of the album.
Yeah. I wanted to write about times in the year last year that made me happy. And I was trying so hard to steer the record away from Misery. And this is the only... This and one other song are the only successful attempts at that.
That's quite a common thing, I feel, where there's a very dark record that has some sort of bright points sort of on the cusp of the A and B side. This is maybe a bit of a deep cut example, but Trust Fund Ozu's Joe is a very dour record about transition. And in the middle of it is the double track punch in the face that is Subaruans and Poop Divas, which feel completely made for a different record, but they just really lighten the mood before the gut punch of the B-side.
You listen to a lot cooler music than I do.
I would disagree. We're actually going to listen to some of your favorite tracks later on. All right, here is Parasol.
If I write a song, but nobody hears. I hit record, but nobody cares. And no one knows that it's about you. And no one knows what we really do. Temperature peaks the height of day. My single bed, my castaway. Oh, you can be my great escape. My fantasy, my getaway. I'm still waiting for the same feeling, kind of sweat that stops me from breathing, kind of comfort that I'm not receiving. I'll be awful, be your great deceiver. I can be whatever that you need. In the summer heat, I could be your parasol. Summer heat, I had. I'll tell you now, would anyone care? Would someone know? Is somebody there? I know they'll think it wasn't fair. Where are you now and are you alone? What do you need when I pick up the phone? Cause I can be whatever you want. Whatever you want. I'm still waiting for the same feeling, kind of sweat that stops me from breathing, kind of comfort that I'm not receiving. I'll be awful, be a great deceiver. I can be whatever that you need. In the summer heat, I can be your parasol. Your parasol.
Parasol, the only single off the record. You mentioned that it was a sex jam, as you called it. Very, very, very acoustic sex jam. Very, very laid back.
Which is funny, because there's not really, until the end, there's not really a lot of like acoustic guitar in that song. It's, I believe it's the ukulele from a Red Orchestra song that I've sampled back in on itself, pitched down, and then I exported it with like a bass guitar sound, and then Ableton Alchemy nonsense.
I'm sure there are people that are interested in that. It is kind of interesting you say that you've sort of sampled yourself with that track earlier, with Absence of Color sort of being the basis of 8 Hours, and then a Red Orchestra song sort of being the basis of this song. You know, it's kind of like self-reflection. You're looking back, you know, on your previous work and bringing it back round.
Yeah, I think I was like, I remember, you know, we had a very small launch for Red Orchestra's album for Minotaur, and it was about like maybe 30 people in a cinema. We filmed it. It was very beautiful, and it was exactly what I wanted it to be. And I was still so sad when I got home afterwards. And I was like, why am I sad? Oh, wait, I think it might be because my dad died. So <Yeah. laughs> that was the point where I was just like, okay, maybe I need to take a pause and, like, you know, see if I can just re-listen to what I've made this year. And then that's when I was like, oh, okay, I think it might be interesting as like an archival sort of process to, you know, like, you do run the risk of being horribly self-referential, but also, I don't know, it's fun. You know, make up your own lore as an artist. It's fun.
Yeah, I really like when a musician sort of interpolates or references their older music. I know a lot of people, it's very common in rap, like referencing earlier records and sort of where you've come from and where you are now. And
yeah, and I mean, like, it's funny you mentioned like rap. Like that song started so hard, me wanting to make like a Boys to Men style, like, you know, New Jack Swing kind of slow jam situation.
Well, what happened? Did it sort of mutate into something different?
I forgot how to play a bass line.
I mean, it's interesting how, you know, that happens with records where you think, you set out and you go, I'm going to make this. And then you finish with it and you go, this looks nothing like what I set out to make.
Have you seen that video of Courtney Barnett as she's like talking about how she wrote some of the songs on like her first few records, and she would like listen to like a Pavement song or whatever and forget how to play it and then try to play it back? I'm like that with my own music, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting how that goes, where you can originate something and then kind of, you know, lose it, or it evolves. I mean, it's specifically with bands that play live, you see that where, you know, the song has, you know, it gets recorded and then it takes on a life of its own on the road.
I'm actually yet to play this album live at all.
Are you going to?
Yeah, so I'm playing it on the 28th, so this will already be published by then, I think. But I'll be performing it here and there sporadically. I just haven't really, you know, we were going to do like a big launch for it and everything, and then I just got swept up by like life commitments and, you know, uni stuff.
That's sort of how it goes as a student.
I don't know how to tackle playing this album live.
Yeah.
Like, well, frankly,
It all yourself? Is it a one woman band where you've got, you know, you're marching around the stage with contraptions attached to you, or is it you and Ableton? Is it you and a guitar?
It's me and Ableton and a guitar.
It's you and Ableton and a guitar.
Yeah.
Underscores.
Yeah, I guess so.
Alrighty. Well, the next track is Interfere. I don't think this one's a sex jam this time.
Hell no.
Oh, so what is Interfere?
In the making of this record, right, I was seeing somebody very, you know, I don't know if I want to say casual, but I also, at the same time, really probably shouldn't have been, like, super involved. But I didn't want to be on my own either. So I was over at their house a lot. And they had two really grumpy housemates. who I think are lovely people, by the way. Like, I think in hindsight, like, everyone in this story is a great person, right?
Yeah.
It's just, at the time, I think I got super, super spooked because I didn't want to mess around in their house dynamics. I didn't want to interfere.
You didn't want to interfere. Hence, Interfere.
And the static that builds up the majority of the song is my attempt to try and like make static interference. And so it was like a song topic and sound relationship thing.
Well, there you go. Here is Interfere. You seemed upset inside your room. I didn't know what I could do, 'cause I don't want to interfere. I leave a note inside your door. It wasn't what you're looking for. Well, I just try to be sincere. You haven't cleaned your goddamn room in a long time. It still smells like your ass in here. I don't feel so welcome anymore in this debris of laundry and tears. I stay awake waiting for your call. I'm only worth voicemails after all. You say I shouldn't be freaking out, but you don't know what you're on. Outside your house, and it's 3 a.m. I see the moon mocking me again. I don't think you'll ever let me in your dreams. You seemed upset inside your room.
I didn't know what I could do, 'cause I don't want to interfere. I leave a note outside the door. It wasn't what you were looking for. Well, I just tried to be sincere.
Interfere. What? I mean, we've already spoken about what Interfere was, and definitely not a sex jam.
Not for normal people.
For those who've just tuned in, this is 3CR 855. I'm Luna, and this one is introduced by Izzy Mardenweir.
Hello.
Welcome back, Izzy.
Hi.
You didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
So that was Interfere. Next on the album is We Need to Talk. And I mean, we're already talking, so.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. I misled you.
False pretenses.
This is the other happy pop song. This is, I had great designs for this track. I initially was like, yeah, I'm going to make a Triple J count and everything. But I didn't. I don't know. I think the rest of the record got so dour that I sort of just forgot that this track had like banger potential.
Less of a, if it's not a banger, what is it?
It's like a wanger, like
a wanger.
I am really proud of it, but it's not a track that I go back to and revisit from this record.
Mm.
Yet everyone I show this record to says that this is the song. So, yeah, maybe taking a leaf from Gautier, I have made my own somebody that I used to know.
I mean, Parasol was the single.
Yeah.
If this had had a second single, would it have been?
This should have been the first single.
This should have been the first single.
I think I fluffed it. I wanted to make Parasol the first single initially because I wanted to demonstrate that this was a much stranger record.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, I think it would have been funny to make this song the single and then fool people. Maybe, I don't know, next time. If I ever do another thing like this again, who knows?
I'm thinking like when a studio, you know, makes the trailer look like a different type of a movie, you go to Jarhead and think, oh wow, a wholesome action film for my kids, and then bang, PTSD. All right. Well, this is We Need to Talk.
I don't want to try hard. I don't want to be a burden in your heart. You don't have to go far. Far enough to take me where it starts. Don't know if you need someone, need someone. Don't know if you need someone to say. apologized. I need a little more time to adjust to you. I know how that sounds, but what I mean is true. Whether right or wrong, whether do or die, don't think I can move on without trying. I know it's a dark corridor and a long way down, but I can't look back, I just look around. I just see your face everywhere I go. Am I going too fast? Am I taking it slow? Am I taking my time? I don't really. Are you doing alright? 'Cause I need to know if I'm good for you. If this is good for us, I just.
That was You Know How to Make Me Lonely.
That was We Need to Talk.
That was We Need to Talk. I
got him.
I never learned how to read, and it's come back to bite me.
That would be a great song title.
I don't know how to. I never learned how to read, and it's come back to bite me.
I never learned how to read. Just I never learned how to read. Keep it there. You got to keep it brief. You know,
can't be too long.
Yeah.
And then your name's. Then your band name is. I don't know how, but they found me. And
yeah. I've never listened to those guys. They just keep coming up in my recommended.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
It's Mormon pop rock.
Me too.
Me too. Mormon pop rock. Well, I don't know whether the Sex Gems sort of fall into that.
I don't know. I feel like I'm like Muslim pop rock.
Muslim pop rock. That's what you've got to put on the hype sticker. I've been in the break. I was just saying, you know, we've got to put a hype sticker on the front cover, and I think Muslim pop rock, that's pretty good.
Nah, I'm just going to stick to one, like, parental advisory sticker.
Parental advisory.
Not because there's any swearing, just because it'll make you depressed.
Yeah. Go listen to something happy, like Mount Eerie. So, the next track is apparently You Know How to Make Me Lonely.
Yes. Okay, so I wrote this one 5 years ago during lockdown, and I think I first recorded this on, like, GarageBand, which, by the way, is totally valid recording software. Don't let anyone tell you that GarageBand is not valid.
If it ain't broke, don't break it.
Exactly. If it does the job, you know, Burial-y's SoundForge or whatever. So, like,
yeah. People are too judgmental, right? There are fantastic hip-hop beats that were made on phones. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ringtone rap was a thing.
Yeah. You know? I mean, everyone get the Ableton app on your phone right now.
There's an Ableton app?
I have it.
Oh, this has changed me. But, yeah, this is the closest I think I've gotten to making shoegaze music. That little fuzzy bass part at the end. That is a bass. That is a fuzz bass at the end. I've had people tell me that, like, the record is pretty enjoyable up until this moment. I wish it becomes painful. Which, if that's the case, then my work here is done.
Right. So this is, I mean, compared to the last... You know, we had a little blip of hope in the middle of the record. Now this is sort of the emotional, I don't know what you'd call it, the emotional center of the album. It's, we were speaking earlier about how the album has a bit of a lockdown vibe, and I think this song is definitely part of that.
Oh, well, yeah, I literally recorded it.
You literally recorded it?
The original version during lockdown. That was a strange time in the world. It Everybody sure was so introverted for obvious reasons. I don't want to say I miss it, because I don't. But I also do think, in hindsight, wow, if there were more opportunities for people to take time for ourselves to do things at home with our loved ones and to, you know, try and remember the small stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm boring, but...
No,
maybe being boring is kind of awesome.
maybe being boring is part of being interesting. I think a lot of people kind of, I don't know, pine for that indoor time with loved ones, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in hindsight that, like, you know, I have such a nice big room full of instruments to muck around in. Some people don't have the luxury.
You sort of had the perfect storm of creativity, the time and the access and the excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is You Know How to Make Me Lonely.
What was the cost of the moon? From your tomb. Hang me in my room like rosaries. Good Christian girls, I fall asleep. I wanna call. call you on your birthday. Don't think I should call you on your birthday. I still believe in birthdays. Wish I never ever had a birthday.
That was You Know How to Make Me Lonely. This is And This One's Introduced By. My name is Luna, and I am joined with...
Izzy, Martin, Weir.
Welcome back, 3CR 855. Wow, that... That's all I have to say. Wow, it's... I see what you mean when you say it's sort of the crux of the album. It's really the... it's what the album's building to.
It's the center of the Ferrero Rocher.
It's the center of the Ferrero Rocher. There you go. The delicious hazelnut. We're not sponsored.
Speak for yourself.
Wow. So, I mean, what can you say about You Know How to Make Me Lonely that we haven't already said?
I'm just really happy I finally managed to put that to tape.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy too. It's such a rich, like the other tracks on the album, a lot of them are very sparse, and this one's kind of sparse too, but it has so many different elements and parts. It's almost classical. It has movements to it.
Someone told me it was like a Red Orchestra song got lost on its way and ended up in this record. And I can kind of see it, but also like there are so many, you know, you listen to so much music in your life. Whether you make it or you don't, you're just exposed to so many different kinds of things as a person who makes art or as a person in the arts. And at some point, it can be difficult to, like, look at yourself and be like, what's my thing? What makes me unique? I'm really glad that Lonely was able to synthesize my whole jam. You know?
Yeah, you pulled it off. I don't know what it is, but you did it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I think. I really like that track. And it's the last original on this record. The final track is a cover by Sydney-based group The Desks. So what do we have to say about Home Is Where the Home Studio Is?
Oh my god. Okay, so I was really hesitant to record a cover initially because I wanted to do the original song justice. And if you haven't heard the original, you should. The Desks are a Sydney-based, I think they're a husband and wife duo. I don't know. It's like it's two people and there's like a baby and it makes you, I don't know.
There's a family sort of dynamic happening.
It feels very familial. They feel very warm and cozy and, you know, homespun in the kind of way that like nice, truly indie, truly DIY music can be. It's so cute. And the song is so devastating. I heard it after a breakup that I had, which happened about a month or two after my dad died, which was just like one thing on top of another. And, you know, it was auto-recommended to me. And sometimes it can really feel like a ghost is trying to get at you through the algorithm when that happens.
Yeah.
I lied in bed and I listened to this, the original version of this song, and just felt it. I think it was like nice to properly feel my feelings.
Yeah.
In that way. And so I had to honor it the only way I knew how, by crying on record.
Well, here is Home Is Where the Home Studio Is.
I'm going home, 'cause that's where the home studio is. And I'm gonna mess around with that. And I've gotten up and have to sort these lyrics out, and I'm gonna mess around fine. I'm not going to get
That was Home Is Where the Home Studio Is. Very, very raw. It's even if you didn't write the song, I don't think anyone can listen to that and say that isn't your song, at least in the context of this record. Wow.
Thank you.
I know the word brave gets thrown around to trans women all the time. I'm just, you're so brave. Oh my god. I couldn't do it.
I do not feel brave. I feel terrified.
as do I think we all do. But I think it is quite brave to be so honest in a culture and in a generation that is very irony poisoned and very, you know, very scared to present a unfiltered, uncurated, un-Instagrammable version of yourself to be, you know, it's one of those records that you would find in the 70s, you know, thinking Marvin Gaye, Hear My Dear, or something like that, just very putting it all out rather than, you know, filtering it, condensing it, and repackaging and selling it. It's very, very raw, very, very you.
There is still so much music being made today that is like this, thankfully.
Yeah.
It's just harder to find. And sometimes it may not feel as genuine.
Mm.
Sometimes it isn't as genuine.
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad to have contributed at least some portion to, like, you know, the greater collective human notion of honest art.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Well, I don't know. I'm just putting words together.
No, yeah. It's very genuine. It's very, I think it's as authentic as you can get, really.
Thank you.
do you have anything else you'd like to say about this record before we move on to the influence segment?
Yeah, I just want to thank CineKit, who did the cover art. Now, that was a whole story in and of itself. CineKit is a German or Germany-based yaoi artist. And it's a pretty serious record. And I knew that I wanted to inject some levity somehow. And at the same time, I wanted to demonstrate both the intense pain and also the intense optimism of the record. Because it's not a happy album, but I definitely feel better having made it. I feel better about life and about the world and myself having made it. So, you know, Cine, they do these drawings of, like, people in strange positions full of blood and guts and gore, but often there's, like, sunlight or butterflies or a meadow, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I really did vibe with it, and, you know, we worked together on this cover art.
It was a collaboration.
Well, I didn't do any of the art, but
you bring the emotion. You bring the
yeah, the concept of it.
Yeah,
that is me in the cover art.
Yeah,
just back when I had blonde hair. And the writing on the side of it is Sundanese script. My stepdad is Sundanese, and he really encouraged me to finish this thing. You know, this record, and I wanted to honor that in some way.
That's lovely. We're going to throw to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And this one's introduced by, would like to thank our program sponsors, Greville Records, for their financial support of this program. Greville Records is a legendary Melbourne-based independent record store, servicing the local community with the best vinyl LPs, CDs, books, and much more. Visit the store at 152 Greville Street, Prahran, or head to grevillerecords.com.au to learn more.
The state Labor government has begun works on demolishing Melbourne's 44 public housing towers to be replaced with private housing. Already hundreds of residents have been displaced, often into unsuitable homes under duress.
The towers on Racecourse Road, Flemington, have become Homes Victoria work sites, while the families still living in the buildings are being treated appallingly.
Join Save Public Housing supporters in solidarity with residents.
Weekdays 7:30 till 9 a.m. as we engage with passing traffic to make some noise and show Jacinta Allen
that the demolition of public housing is unacceptable. Signs and banners provided or bring your own.
There's power in numbers, so see you at 120 Racecourse Road, Flemington, 7:30 till 9 a.m.
Save Public Housing is a 3CR supporter.
I'm Tash Sultana, and you are listening to 3CR. please subscribe. Do yourselves a massive favour. Thank you very much.
Right, we are back. We are, and this one is introduced by Izzy Mardenweir.
Hi.
I am Luna, not a doctor, McLeod, and we're about to play some of Izzy's influences for this record. Izzy, what have you got?
Okay, let's see. Let's have a look. So, when I was in, like, high school, I believe, was sort of when Genesis era Grimes was coming about. This was like the peak of, I guess, you know, the Witch House kind of era, and when people were really big into Tumblr, everyone started learning what the word aesthetic meant, and there was a band actually that was tangentially related to that whole scene that I got really obsessed with for a while called Magical Clouds. And these guys have a song called Bugs Don't Buzz that is, you know, like when you think of like a guitar solo or a drum solo, whatever, this is an oscillator solo.
Oscillator solo, interesting.
And the minimalism and sparseness of the song, the existentialism of the lyrics, very, very influential, especially on this record that I just made.
Right, so we're going to have Bugs Don't Buzz by Magical Clouds, and then after that we've got Help. Rosie Plain. I mean, what does that track mean to you?
It's so funky. It's so, like, despite being very minimal and skeletal, it's also got, like, 7 to 8 instruments in it, I think, or 6 or 7. you know, you've got a harp, and you've got, like, this very complex sort of, like, synth part that I thought was an accordion, but it may not be. I have no idea. Again, it's, like, my obsession with unidentifiable sounds, and yeah, really interesting kind of rhythmic skip in that drums that I've been obsessed with ever since I first heard this song. And I do not remember when I first heard this song. I think a girl had shown it to me, being like, hey, thanks for recommending me this album. And I was like, I did not recommend you this album. I have never heard this band before. This sounds great.
It's so easy that they yeah, assumed it must have been you.
Yep.
All right, well, first off, here is Bugs Don't Buzz.
Oh, is going. When it goes, you won't even know. Help for you. Help for you.
Plane, and before that we had Bugs Don't Buzz by Magical Clouds, with a very Magical Clouds is spelt very Tumblr-esque.
Very weird, very badly.
it was of that time.
Yeah, which is funny because I really don't think the music is of that time.
Yeah, you know? No, it's very timeless. It's very, I don't know, it's got that sort of like 1970s onwards kind of, almost a lounge kind of a sound. Very, I mean, if I wanted to be diminutive, I'd maybe say music to smoke weed to. But
I really didn't hear that. I heard like a very strong ballad thing.
Mm.
Like I felt like the drama and the poetry of it a lot more.
Yeah,
I think I find it very hard sometimes to chill out to music that other people might find relaxing because I look into the details too much.
Well, I you mentioned, you know, you're a pianist, and you're also, I mean, you're a drummer, you're a multi-instrumentalist, but mostly you're a pianist and a drummer, and I think you can really appreciate the drama of the instrumentation. I mentioned earlier, in many ways you're very classical. You like writing things, you know, with movements and with, you know, songs that may go through a couple of different iterations within the same song.
It's hard to do that without getting into like you know, prog rock territory, which I'm a bit allergic to. So I think trying to stay within that sort of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you do well at sort of avoiding stepping into that territory, because I think what you do is still very emotional. I think prog rock has a problem where it can kind of collapse in on itself in, oh, look at me, I know my tools too well to to really be thinking about the emotion of it, the drama. It's all about the, I'm going to play the most notes as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes.
And I think that can sort of, yeah, take away from the heart of the music, because you got to be able to relate to people.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to relate. I think that's a really important point. You've got to, I mean, I said earlier, this album of yours really reached in and grabbed me, and it's very emotional. You can feel the emotion very clearly. It comes across your experience. It's I'm not you, but I feel like in a very little way, I kind of got to live that experience with you.
Do you think it'd be just as emotional if it had like 70 Moog solos on it?
Well, I mean, as much as I think you would do a fantastic Frampton Comes Alive, you know, YYZ Rush thing.
Watch me.
You know, you can hop on the talk box and you can wail your solo.
I've never used the talk box before. Well, that's always like that and clavinets. I've never used those.
Well,
things.
Come around to my house and we'll talk box it up. we're gonna do Frampton Comes Alive back to back.
People get me in a hot box to house. This is someone else.
Something a secret third thing. Next we have Never Miss by Yeo.
Yo.
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 My bad. And followed by Dice by Konradson. What are these two tracks? What are they to you?
I think the two very different sides of my record. Yo, you know, he's a Melbourne-based R&B sort of flavored indie musician.
Mm.
Malaysian Chinese guy, brings a lot of that perspective in his music, and as an Indonesian person, I do wish I could bring more of that perspective into my music.
Right.
I'm still working on how to do that.
How do you make music of the diaspora?
I guess so, which there isn't really any one sound or way to do it. But, you know, a lot of the music that I listened to growing up, or like my, you know, my siblings, or like people in my suburb listened to growing up, was very like, you know, R&B or sort of that sort of music.
Hmm.
Much more so than indie rock, which was something that I had to seek out. And, you know, now is a lot more common, but at least in like what, the 2010s and whatever, it really wasn't anything that people around me listened to.
Yeah.
Whereas Dice by Konradson is the other half of my record. The spooky half, the piano, classical musician kind of half. And there's a lot of lovely little sonic details in that piece. They have a real, they're a Swedish group, and they have like a real attention to detail.
Yeah. Would you say that's something you have, that kind of attention to detail?
It's something I'm working on.
I think you sort of display that in your ability to look into the minutiae of the track and sort of really... You know, zoom in. You were talking earlier about how people, you know, with music, you can do a lot with a little. And I think that's what your record is. You've really, despite being so sparse, I think that kind of lets the emotion of the album really, really seep through. All right. So we're about to play Never Miss by Yo.
Learn my lesson. Learn wanna burn me, burn me. Take a front row seat while you burn me, burn me. Put it on repeat while you burn me, burn me. Take a front row seat while you burn me, burn me. I can take the heat now. It's you I'm a missing. I hope you got what you're wishing for. It's you I'm a missing. I hope you got what you're wishing.
Tell them who I really am. Cause history ain't worth a damn. Never said I'm perfect. I'm not scared of my mistakes. I'll do whatever it takes. Tell them that I sent you through some hate. I never meant to. I never knew how you felt. I learned my lesson. Hope that I'm not the only one. Now I'm back confessing. When I smell the smoke, I run. Now you wanna burn me, burn me. Take a front row seat while you burn me, burn me. Put it on repeat while you burn me, burn me. Take a front row seat while you burn me, burn me. I can take the heat now. It's you I'm a missing. I hope you got what you're wishing for. It's you I'm a missing.
Your finger on my bare neck. Kiss me when I am a train wreck. Press your weight upon my shoulders. Don't allow me to grow older. Rosy days of hymns and laughter. Call it a disaster. Keep on throwing no three dices. Cut a feeling in two slices. Done building baby roller coasters for me. I am to blame. Meeting honey roasted, secret fills my mouth with shame. Why do we keep on going back to places we never should? Deep minds, bloodlines, turns her heart to wood. Thank you.
That was Dice by Conradson. And before that, we had Never Miss by Yo. So then the last track we're going to play is going to be Fast Moving Cars by Carla Del Forno. Sorry, Carla Del Forno. Sometimes an RN looks like an M.
Carla Del Fomo.
Carla Del Fomo.
If you're listening to this, Carla, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Carla. So Fast Moving Cars, what is this track?
Second track, I believe, from Carla Del Fomo's first record. Super spooky, super full of space, but also really beautiful. I once tried to explain Carla's music to someone who wasn't Australian, and I found it really hard to do. And that's when I realized that, like, you know, her living in Castle, Maine and stuff really has an effect on how the music that she makes, especially now. I don't think that was where this song was made, but it definitely has that, you know, you go driving down a road at night and it's not quite the city. It's like an outer suburb.
Yeah.
It's a feeling that I'm still trying to capture in my own work.
Night driving music.
I can't drive. That's probably why I can't capture it.
Do you have anything else to say about our chat? I've had a really good time.
Yeah, this has been a really lovely conversation. Thank you so much, Luna.
No, thank you for coming on.
Very insightful questions, and I feel very heard. Thank you.
Thank you for curating this wonderful track list. Unfortunately, like all good things, our show is coming to its end for the evening. But don't fret, next week we'll be back. We'll have Mars joined by Punko. You've been listening to, and this one's introduced by, Izzy. Thank you so much for your time. Everyone, please check out You Must Believe in Spring. It's available on Bandcamp. And no, I'm not talking about the Bill Evans record, but this record is named after that record, so it is a little confusing.
Yeah, it was a record my dad really liked, so there you go.
Oh, that's a really wonderful connection. Yeah, make sure you type in You Must Believe in Spring, Izzy Marden Weir.
Just type in my name.
Yeah, just type in Izzy Marden Weir. You can also find Red Orchestra. Where else can people find you, Izzy?
Out there.
If you see her on the street, don't say hi. Leave her alone. Thank you so much once again, Izzy. Here is our final track, Fast Moving Cars.
you.